intersection of good drinks, good music, and good times. This is Hops and Spirits Bar Conversations.
I feel like we've been all over the world lately, but for some reason, all roads seem to lead back to Texas for another another week. Before we get into our interview, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media at Hops Spirits, all one word, hopspirits.com. And if you're on Facebook, check out our country and our bourbon and country music Facebook group. We can keep up with some cool things that we're doing and see some fun things that we have in store as well. We got a fun one for you tonight. He's a country artist, songwriter down out of Texas. His latest single, God and Good News, is out now, at least when this drops. Maybe not when we're talking, but when this drops, let's welcome in Jake Bush.
What's up, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Glad to be on here. I'm glad we made it work.
Absolutely. I'm just hoping Mother Nature cooperates for me, because up here in Kentucky, apparently they wanted to have tornado warnings and flood warnings and everything else. So it's been a fun day.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it.
Because that never happens down in Texas, right?
Occasionally. Yeah, occasionally. A couple years ago, town I grew up in got hit really bad. Like demolished houses, and it was pretty gnarly for a little while.
Yeah, it's wild. Thankfully, it's just been some nasty wind, nothing too bad so far. We'll see what the rest of the night brings. Now,
yeah.
This is called Bar Conversations. We like to have a drink. So I decided to bring with me a little Rossville Union, little rye whiskey 6 year. You drinking anything good tonight?
I'm drinking my electrolytes.
You behaving yourself, I take it?
Yeah.
Now, if I had to put you on the spot and say what's your go-to drink, what do you usually go for these days?
So I've been sober for 3 years now.
Well, congratulations.
My go-to drink was Jägermeister. That was like my all-time favorite.
That seems dangerous.
Yeah, that's why I don't. That's why I don't anymore.
Well, now, so obviously you're not drinking that. Do you have like... Because, like, for me, I have another bad habit. I Coke Zero. It's like I have to have a Coke Zero. Are you coffee, pop, soda?
What's your kind of... I love coffee, and, man, I love sweet tea. Sweet tea is like my Achilles when I'm down here trying to stay in shape. It beats me every time, man. If there's sweet tea, I just can't say no.
Well, when it's good, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's like, you know, it's just comfort foods, and it is what it is.
Now, you mentioned the coffee. Now, are you, like my wife, you got the coffee grinder, all that, you got beans lined up everywhere, or you take it even further than that, or you just, you know, keep it simple?
So, at my house, I have an espresso machine, and that's like my favorite, but on the bus, we have a Keurig, and we actually have an espresso, like, coffee grinder and all that. So, it's like the bus is a little bit more bougie.
I like it. I like it. Now, I got to ask you this real tough question as well. I think I read this somewhere. Were you really writing poems to girls in elementary school? Dropping,
oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were any of them like stuff that you keep today and ever use again?
Man, I don't know. I feel like when my dad passes away, I'll probably find a lot of hidden poems that I thought got washed in the washing machine. But I don't know. A lot of that was a blur. What I really remember is like the seventh grade or eighth grade, I would send like voice recordings of me singing old Keith Whitley songs to girls. It was just like a thing. I couldn't play the guitar yet, so... Somebody had to serenade these ladies, and it had to be me.
Well, absolutely. Now, here's the other question. Did it work?
It did, yeah, man. The same girl that I did that with in, like, eighth grade, we dated all the way till senior year.
Well, damn. That was a good way to get there.
It worked.
Now, what made you then learn to play the guitar? Because if you were singing that beforehand, you'd already had the girl. What made you want to learn the guitar?
I had a friend that his dad was like a killer guitar player. He didn't play in bands or anything, but he would open his garage every weekend and just play all the blues songs, man. He'd play Peter Frampton, Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and it just, even though that's not like my cup of tea per se, I was glued, you know, as a 12, 13-year-old kid, dude. That was the coolest thing. And it might not even have been all that great, but back then it was, you know.
Well, yeah, it was probably your introduction to it, right?
Oh, for sure.
Now, did you also then build upon, you know, go from those serenading notes and the guitar to duet in the high school talent show?
I did, yeah. It was a very odd journey. I taught myself how to play, and then I would, like, slowly start singing. But we always did barbecues. So, like, we would do cook-offs in town, or we would just be cooking at the house, and I would always play the guitar in the backyard. So it kind of slowly gravitated from the backyard to the bars to where I'm at now. It was a weird thing, but yes, the talent show is definitely like the first time ever singing in front of anybody.
How'd it go?
I thought I nailed it. But I mean, I did a duet with a girl that was freaking so good, man. I think she's just a mom and a wife now, but man, she used to be able to sing so well. We were teenagers, and I thought she could sing better than a lot of the people on the radio at that time.
Well, it's funny you kind of mentioned, you know, how you got to where you did. You know, you talk about singing at the barbecues, kind of going to the bars. What impact did kind of growing up in Texas where you did have on you?
Man, I don't think I would be doing this if I would have been in a different state. Music here is so prevalent. I mean, every restaurant, every bar has it, and at that time I was starting to kind of like follow around a guy that was my brother's best friend, and he was kind of doing his thing in the Texas music scene, and you know, I kind of idolized him, so I would be at all his shows and then would get up there and sing his songs with him. And one night I had sang with him, and he just was like, no, you're not doing this for free anymore. And so I started doing a Thursday show, and that led to a Friday, to a Saturday, to a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to this being my only job. Just snowballed down.
Well, I was going to say, there is something cool about Texas and how much love of music they have down there. I also know you come from a big family. You're one of five kids. What's that like?
One of five, and then I have two stepbrothers, so there's seven of us total. But I'm the youngest, so I'm the baby of all of them. So it was kind of for me and against me growing up. You know, like I didn't get a car until I was 18. You know, I didn't even drive until I was 18. Legally, being the youngest, I was the DD for a lot of my brothers. But yeah, it was like when I started playing the guitar, I was like, Dad, I want to play. He's like, nope, your other siblings already tried this, you know. So luckily it worked out. But yeah, I loved it, man. I love growing up in a big family. It's super dysfunctional over here, and you know, I see a lot of my friends that don't have any siblings, and I don't think I could live like that. I love having my siblings.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, it's got to be fun to be able to, you know, get together and catch up and do stuff. And you talk about being the youngest. Was there a lot of times they just picked on you, or were you the baby and everyone avoided picking on you?
Man, I really, being that the closest age-wise to my sibling was 7 years. So he was more of like my protector almost, you know, because my dad was working all over the country in aviation, and my mom was always working. So it was kind of like my brother stepped in as that, and my sister was kind of more protective. I really never got picked on, but I put up a fight, you know, like they taught me how to fight. And when I thought I was bigger and badder than they were, they taught me real fast that I was not. So it definitely made me tough.
A good life lesson.
Yeah, I never got picked on like most siblings would, I guess.
No, but that's awesome that you've got that relationship with them. And I know, too, you did lose your mom kind of at an early age. And was music an outlet for you after that as well? Did that kind of how things built for you, too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think even to this day, there's just some songs that when I hear them, it just floors me. And I think growing up hearing such great songs like Holes in the Floor of Heaven and stuff like that has made me try to strive to be a great songwriter. That's why I work so hard nowadays writing songs, is because I know the effect that had on me as a 6-year-old, much less as a 30-year-old.
Well, and you talk about, you know, Keith Whitley and all these great artists that you were able to kind of listened to, or had an impact on you. What music were you listening to? Was it just always country, or who was it?
I've always loved country music, but my dad, when I first started getting like my first iPod, I just loaded his music on there and loaded my brother's. So it was kind of like my dad had all the old country music, and he would have like the occasional like random song, oldie song, if it wasn't country, And then my mom, when she would drive me to school, she would listen to oldies, but my brother would listen to everything from like Eminem all the way to Coldplay, to Crossfade, to Papa Roach. I mean, so I got all angles of it, and I think my music taste now is very eclectic. I listen to it all.
I was gonna say, I feel like you dated yourself a little bit because I grew up in the
Yes, an iPod is it used to be separate from your phone, kids.
no, but I'm like you. When I look back on it, I mean, you could kind of jump from an Eminem song to a country song to a rock song to Elton John to you name it, and it's kind of cool that you're able to just have all that around you.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was a strength. It still is a strength, I think, in the way I sing, and my songwriting is a little bit more. I can kind of curve the edges more, but I mean, it's just kind of helped me all over the place. A lot of these guys that grow up country, I feel like that's all they know is Johnny Cash. But they're missing out on a lot of the other stuff. Music is music, I think, and it's just, I think it's kind of one of my strengths.
Well, a good song can transcend any genre,
True that.
and I think that's what's amazing about music. And you talked about this a little bit earlier that I think it was your brother's friend that you kind of just crashed and followed around. Why did you do that? Like, I mean, that doesn't seem like something that most people would do, just kind of wanting to crash the shows and be able to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I had the bug, man. I had the bug, and there was nights in high school, our senior year, where if he was playing somewhere, we didn't go out to a party. We went out to that bar as underage kids with X's on our hands just to watch his show, which was so random as 18-year-old kids. We could have been doing anything, and as soon as, I don't know, I felt like it was where I was supposed to be. I've always kind of felt like the dive bars, people hate them and stuff, but there was just something about it that just always drew me to them.
Well, and I feel like if you can cut your teeth in a dive bar, you can probably make it most places.
Absolutely. I talked about that at lunch today. It was like, man, if you can't entertain one bartender, then how are you supposed to entertain thousands of people? There was plenty of nights where I played to just the bartender. There's still some nights that I just play to the bartender, but those are the nights that form you and mold you into the entertainer that you become, or not. It either breaks you or it makes you.
Well, I feel like for you, it's made you, and things are going well. But did you know music was always going to be where you'd end up? It sounds like that's kind of the case with everything you had done. But I mean, when did that thought kind of come in?
So my whole life, I always kind of wondered like what was pushing me to this point in my life. Is this where I'm supposed to be? And so I started this in around 2015, and so 2 years, 3 years later, my grandmother passed away, and we had found some pictures of me with like a microphone, like pictures I had never seen my whole life. I thought that I just wandered upon this music thing, And there's just been certain aspects throughout my career that have been like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be right here, And plus now, if I had to go get a job, I think I'd be a terrible employee, unless I could come in at 6 p.m. and be off by 8, then it just wouldn't work out.
I think you might have trouble with that.
Yeah, but if you know anybody hiring, you can let me know.
Well, there's some gigs I hear out there, but no, and you talked about this too, like this is kind of where you belonged, and you kind of built into the full-time thing where you went to were doing shows on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but how difficult of a decision, or was it like a moment where you're like, nah, I got to do this full time if I'm going to do it?
So I was working, I had just got out of the army, and I had a boss that I was kind of working for doing odd jobs throughout the chemical plants. And he saw something in me, even without the music. He just, something about me he just believed in. And he knew I had like a people skill, so took me out of the chemical plants, put me into sales. I didn't sell a single thing for, I think, 4 months. But he paid me a steady paycheck, you know. He knew that I was still playing shows during the week and trying to write songs, and he knew I was hungry for it. And for a 21-year-old kid that I was, I guess I kind of had my stuff together a little more than the next one. And Christmas Eve of 2014, he had just come to me and was like, hey, look, here's the deal. You can either work for me or you can play music, but like doing both while you're working for me isn't going to work. And he's like, if you quit your job, if you quit with me and you go and you face plant in the music business, you always have a job here. And I was kind of like, this is a God thing. I have to just jump off and do this. In my mind, I knew I could do it because of the money I was already making, you know. And he followed me around for a couple months after, probably about 6 or 7 months until I really got my feet on the ground with music. And there'd be nights where he'd pay the other guys playing with me so I could eat, you know. He was a really big blessing. But, yeah, it wasn't really like a wake up, I'm going to quit my job thing. It was more of like a God knew that I could do both, but I wouldn't have been able to fully commit it if I had a good paying job on this side and then I was, you know, making hundreds of dollars over here.
It's a hard thing to give up one when the other one maybe not as guaranteed at the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, you know, you talk about it, you kind of, that was 2014, you know, we're a decade about later. What's that journey been like? Because I know you've had some ups and downs and have probably wanted to stop at some point, but you're still going.
Yeah, man. The journey has been challenging. You know, it's been really good at some points and it's been really not good at other points, but it's always been what I know that I need to do. And it's the only thing I know to do as well. So, you know, I feel like in day jobs that people have, when it gets bad, they can just leave and go get another job. Like with this, it's like, this is where my heart is and the songs are connected to my heart. So I can't just, oh, well, it's getting tough, I'm going to quit. That's not it. Because the songs get better with every challenge, I think. And if you would have asked me 9 years ago where I thought I'd be where I am today, I don't think I would have thought I would have made it where I'm at so far. But the journey's been good. Lost a lot of friends and gained a lot of friends. And it's interesting how the journey can change your surroundings and the people you hang with and the people that you value. And, you know, it's different.
I was going to say, life happens and you change and you adapt. And, you know, you talk about the journey. I'm sure one of the big moments for you, at least musically, was when Gravity and You hit the tops of the Texas radio charts. How did that change things?
That changed my whole life, man. That year, 2020, for a lot of people was like the worst year of the world. But I feel like for me, God slowed me down, because before that I was doing over 200 shows a year. You know, I was hurt. I was killing myself. And I was drinking in all these bars every night and I was making no money. I was surrounded with the wrong people in a bad relationship. And I feel like right before COVID hit, my parents moved in with us, and I felt like I needed that time with my mom and my dad. I hadn't seen them in so long, and I was so busy, and it got me out of a toxic relationship into where I'm at now, married. And that year, I put that song to radio with no other expectation than to put out a good song of like, this is who I am now. And man, that thing caught on like a dang rocket, and people were getting married to it. Got song of the year. I just never, that song changed my whole life. Took me to France. I got to play in France, and I just played it for a first dance last weekend. So, I mean, it's still making an impact on my life.
Well, and I was going to say, and it wasn't like it was just that song either during that time. You had two other pretty big hits off of your album, Seven. So to have that momentum continue had to be pretty cool. What was it like to see it continue to build and continue to have that success?
It was cool because two of those songs I wrote, Better by the Beer, I was a writer on, and If You Ever Get Lonely, I was a writer on. Gravity and You, I did not write. But again, that was a song that spoke for itself, and I think once that song had success and then the next one had success and then that next one had success, for me, I was like, uh-oh, you know, like, where do I go now? And – I knew that it had to be a song, and so that's when I started going to Nashville every month and writing with the best writers in the world. And you know, that alone, going to Nashville as an artist, will change you if you let it change you the right ways. And I don't know, it always just kind of kept that fire just kindled under me, having success. You know, a lot of people can have it and then it falls off. It's a flash in the pan. And I've refused to do that. I did not want this one hit, oh, Gravity and You's great, and then drop something else. It's like, what the hell was that? You know, I didn't want that. Still, I don't want that. I pick songs and I try to pick the best song. I don't care if I wrote it or, you know, whoever wrote it.
Well, I was going to say, as a songwriter, you know, you're telling stories, and I feel like that's kind of your style. Where does that writing for you come from? Is it those life experiences, good or bad, that you're able to share? Is it ideas that just pop into your head when talking to someone? How does it work for you?
It's half and half. I like listening to people. So, like, I'll be at a bar and I will people watch. I'm a professional people watcher, and I will listen to people. Or, like, if someone's talking to me at the merch table, I'm, like, super hyper listening, because people accidentally say the coolest things. Better by the Beer was a conversation with a guy at this bar that I played every Wednesday in La Porte. And every Wednesday that I'd see him, man, how you doing? He's like, oh, I'm getting better by the beer. And I put it in my phone and I was like, I'm going to write that one day. And 2 or 3 years later, I flew to Nashville for my first time and wrote it. And here we are. But a lot of the songs we write now, we just get in a room and we talk. And if we have a good idea, we say it. We try to find a way to get it to a way that has not been said before. And, yeah, we're hard. I mean, I write with usually the same 3 or 4 guys, and we really care about the songs and the message, because I know the impact of a song. And if it's a great title, people expect a great song. And if you miss it, it doesn't hit the right way, so.
Well, and then you talk about, too, you know, you also, you're not one that just only writes your songs and record your songs. When you're finding other songs from other folks, how do you choose those? Is it just something that has to be inherently you?
Half and half, yeah. I think a couple years ago when I was listening to songs I didn't write, it was like, oh, I have to be able to live this, right? I have to be able to do this. Well, now this new album that I'm almost done with, that comes out the end of this year, it's filled with half songs I wrote, half I didn't, and some of them have some subject matter that I've never lived before. But I think the magic of country music is to be able to make the listener convinced that you wrote that song, you live that song, you know. Johnny Cash didn't shoot a man in Reno, but everyone thought he did, you know. That's the magic of country music.
Absolutely. I love that. And you know, I think you did a good job, too, of kind of being that storyteller, because your next album after 7 was Where the 90s Meet Now. How did that kind of come about? Why did you kind of want to go down that road?
Well, Gravity and You, I think, was like the figuring out who I was as a man and as an artist and as a songwriter and kind of where I was at in my life. That was the season of my life for that album, so I've always thought that, man, I'm 90s country through and through. I'm a product of Mark Wills and Chris Cagle and Alan Jackson and Daryl Singletary. I mean, all the guys that we're just obsessed with. It's like, yes, that's the era. That's me. And somebody asked me how I would describe me. And I just like, my sound is, if the 90s country music were to just collide with right now, that's who I am, you know, minus all the stuff that people will not like, you know, the clap tracks and the all the other stuff.
But well, that's it's updated
still. yeah
that's the now part. and obviously you're moving even further along now. Your newest release, God and Good News, by the time this drops will come out. Can you talk a little bit about that song?
Absolutely, yeah. That's probably my favorite song I've ever been able to write. I wrote that with Jesse Robb Jr. and Jacob Boyd. Jesse's written songs for Cody Johnson, like Dancer Home, and Made a Home, and he's got one on the new second half of this album coming out called Over Missing You. He was another guy that I kind of idolized. So we write songs almost every Monday, and him and I go to Nashville every single month, once a month, for a week, and write songs. And We believe in a lot of the same stuff. So my wife and I were watching this movie called The Blind with, it's about Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty guys. And again, I'm hyper listening. So like here I am at the movies, probably should be eating popcorn and not worried about anything. And there's a scene where he says, "Man, the world needs more God and good news." And I couldn't get my phone out fast enough to put it in there. And that Monday I got to the right and we pitched a couple ideas around and I said, I got an idea. Like, I feel like I'm married to the idea. I feel like the world needs this idea. And I said it. And we all just kind of like, okay. So we sat down and we started writing it. And it just kind of says what the world needs right now. Everyone's tired of the news, everyone's tired of the negativity all over the place. I am. And I think there's a lack of, no matter whoever, whatever you believe in, I think there's a lack of that. I think people need something to believe in, whether it's a country song or whether it's a message in a country song. Yeah, this song has a message I think that's bigger than we are. Well, I almost didn't record it because it's so powerful, but I'm glad that I can be the messenger for it.
Well, and that's what like I said, music is so cool when you're able to share those experiences, and then people are able to connect. And you've put out a couple other songs recently as well, some that are a little different, "Good Time Machine," and then you also have "Somewhere Better to." Then you have also have "Somewhere Better to Be," though. I mean, can you talk a little bit about those and how those have kind of come out? Because they're definitely a little different than "God and Good News," at least "Good Time Machine"
Yeah, man,
is.
Good Time Machine. My friend Dan Alley is a writer on that, and Dan's written a couple of my songs, like Tractor Town. He was a writer on that, and a song I cut a couple years ago called "What Are You In For?" But Dan's a smoking writer. He sent that song to me, and believe it or not, how I recorded it is pretty close to how they demoed the song. And I listened to it for 3 or 4 months and almost didn't record it. And then I just thought, man, this song is so 90s country. And I just kind of felt like if we did this song, it's different, but you have to evolve and you have to get out of your comfort zone. So my producer I'm working with, Phil, he's like, "Look, this is a you song. This is a us song. We're going to cut it. If it people love it, they love it. If they hate it, they hate it. But jukebox are going to play it." So, and then "Somewhere Better to Be." I'm coming up on 1 year being married here in a couple of weeks, and clearly I'm 3 years sober. And it's just I'm just in a different area, season of my life, and I felt like that song was where I'm at right now. Instead of hanging in the bars late at night or on my off nights, I'm at home with my wife and my dog, and I do podcasts for fun now.
Hey, I love it. No, that song, when I was listening to it, I was like, you know what, there's just something to it. 'Cause like some nights my buddies will be like, "Hot, where you at?" And I'm like, "I'm home with my wife and my kid and just having a good time." And they're, like I said, it's cool to see yourself in those songs. And for you, when people, whether it was "Gravity in You" or something like "Good Time Machine" or whatever, when they're like, "Man, I just took me back to wherever." How cool is it when people share those stories with you and kind of tell you their experiences?
That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about. And I think so. I have some songs coming out on this album that there's going to be a lot of that, I hope, that where people say, "Man, I didn't know I needed to hear that song," or, "This song reminded me of my dad that I lost," or, this album's going to be jam-packed with songs that have messages that, and every one of them is different. There's not one song on there the same as the next. And, there's songs about making up for lost time on this album. There's songs about God. There's songs about my wife. I think ultimately more than anything for my music, I do want people to almost feel like they have to come up and say, "Hey, that song moved me." I want them to listen to it on the Saturday night at the bar, but I also want them to be able to listen to it on Sunday on the way to church or on the way home from church.
Hey, I was gonna say it's the full ride, full circle moment. And you talk about, more new music album coming. When can folks expect that? Don't want you to get in trouble. I know you can't put dates and all that, but.
Well, we only have a couple more songs to record for it. So that we're hoping for October. I'm really hoping for October, November. But again, it's not my time, it's God's, I think. So I can have a plan all I want to, but I'll keep dropping songs almost every month throughout the rest of the year, and then whatever's left will be on the album. And yeah, but what you can expect, songs like "Good Time Machine," songs like "Somewhere Better to Be," and then now God and Good News. So they're all, that's kind of what you hear is what you get, and they're not even the best songs on this album. So if you love those, everyone's going to be in for a treat.
I like it. A good tease, a good tease. And you know, you talk about, you know, you're a road warrior doing a ton of shows. I'm still guessing, though, you still have a lot of fun when you're able to get up on stage. Can you talk about, you know, being able to perform, do shows and things like that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I think being on stage is one of my favorite things in the whole world sometimes. You know, some nights it's not, stuff just doesn't go your way, but I love it, man. That's where I think, that's where I'm most me, and that's where I'm most at home is up there, man. And plus people are coming there and they spend their money to forget about their problems. So you'll never see me bring my problems up there because it's not about me. It's about these songs and the people that need to hear them. And, yeah, I love it, man. I live for it.
Now, I always ask this question, and it's all, I'm always curious about it. What's your favorite song to perform right now, whether it's yours or someone else? Like, what's your favorite?
I would probably say God and Good News. Yeah, it's probably my favorite. It was Good Time Machine. Good Time Machine's still one of my favorites. That like steals the energy from the room. It just lights it up, man. People, they might not even know the song, but the melody and everything, it just makes you just want to go crazy.
I was going to say, you get out on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully not. Yeah. But at least on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up, obviously, you know, you said more new music's coming, an album by the end of the year, hopefully. So, you know, obviously that's a lot. I mean, what else can folks expect from you the rest of this year?
I don't know, man. We have a ton of new dates, a ton of tour dates. I think a lot is riding on this album for us. We're just really hoping that it lives and makes an impact on people. And plus, I mean, I've been blessed with two other great albums with 90s and 7. And I kind of feel like the pressure's on for us, whether it's on from other people. We have high expectations of ourselves for this album because this album could be the album that really moves it for us. And people can look back on it and say, man, that was the album that shifted it, you know? And so we're kind of just taking it day by day, man. We're still steadily writing songs. And so I'll never run out of songs, hopefully. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man. We're looking forward to touring all around the U.S. and all around Texas and be back in Nashville and then just keep pumping these songs up.
Well, sounds like it's a good year. And like I said, everything I've heard so far has been awesome, and I can't wait to see what you have next. And Jake, thanks for hanging.
Of course, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Find more from Hops and Spirits at hopspirits.com.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.